Those readings are profound, and I was going to share a lot of insight maybe into this idea of, in a little while, you will no longer see me. I think the apostles ask our own question, what do you mean? What is this little while? And it's always, like we said before, the Last Supper readings of Jesus, Last Supper discourses, they seem to apply very well both to the fact that he's going to die for 3 days, and then they'll see him again, and their hearts will rejoice when he rises from the tomb. But they also seem to apply to the fact that he's ascending to the Father, and they won't see him for a little while, like 2,023 years, little while. And then one day they will see him again when he comes in glory. And he says to them, you'll weep and mourn in those 3 days while I'm dead, and the world will seem to rejoice. But also, you, church, will weep and mourn during the times when I'm distant from you, or I seem distant from you, when the world seems to be victorious while you have to suffer. While the world rejects you, you will weep and mourn. But one day you will rejoice, and no one will take that joy away from you. So it's both. Try to read it from both layers that our Lord's referring to. But, I'm sorry, I keep going to Pope St. Leo, because we've been reading a lot about him in the breviary. So again, 400s AD, the Lord's resurrection filled us with joy on Easter Day. So too, his ascension into heaven is the cause of our gladness now, as we solemnize the day on which our lowly nature was raised up in Christ above all the host of heaven. What is the Mass, guys? What do we do in the liturgy? Was raised up above the ranks of the angels, beyond the height of all the heavenly powers, to the throne of God the Father. We were founded and built upon this succession of divine acts. Through the acts of Jesus, we were built up, so that the wonder of God's grace might be even greater. For though everything of Jesus' humanity and miracles that seem to move us to due reverence is removed from our sight, we don't see him anymore, our faith remains constant, our hope firm, and our charity warm. This is the strength which is given to great minds. This is the light of truly faithful souls, that unhesitatingly they can believe what they cannot see with the eyes of the body, and direct their longings beyond the range of their sight. Can we do that? What is our hope? How strong is our hope? How could this devotion be born in our hearts? How could anyone be justified by faith if our salvation were to be found in those things alone which are open to our human gaze? They're not open to that. We can't see. We have to live by faith. The visible presence of our Redeemer passed over into sacraments. Thanks, Pope St. Leo in the 400s. The sacraments, those visible signs of invisible reality and presence of God. And so that faith might be more noble and firmer, it is grounded now not on sight, but on teaching or on the word of Christ. The hearts of those who believe follow this doctrine by a light that comes not from their own intelligence, which is limited, but from above. This faith, this light, which was increased by the Lord's ascension and strengthened especially by the gift of his Holy Spirit, could not be dismayed by chains or prison or exile, as the first Christians experienced so much of, nor by hunger or fire, by the wild beasts for the martyrs. All over the world, not only men, but women too, as if that's a big deal, just saying, and young children fought for this faith, even to the shedding of their blood. This faith cast out devils, drove away sickness, raised the dead. This faith, the apostles themselves, though on many occasions they had been strengthened by our Lord's visible miracles and instructed by his words that they could hear from his own human mouth, still panicked at the atrociousness of his passion, and only after some hesitation even believed in his resurrection. Yet his ascension and the Holy Spirit wrought such a change in them that whatever before had been a source of fear now became a source of joy for them. They fixed their minds on Christ, Godhead in heaven, as he sat at his Father's right hand. The evidence of their eyes, which there wasn't much evidence to their eyes, no longer held back their mental vision from contemplating this truth. Keep your eyes fixed on heavenly things. That the Son descended from his Father without leaving him. Jesus never left the Father. And the Son ascended from us, his disciples, without departing from them. He's right here. You can't see him. But through the liturgy, through the sacraments, he's with us. The Son of Man, my dearly beloved children, was revealed more perfectly as the Son of God after he returned to the glory of the Father's throne. And in a mysterious way, he began to be more present to us, his disciples, once he had become more distant in his humanity. It's hard to understand this, but it is a fact. The faith of the apostles was stronger through the Holy Spirit than it had ever been before the humanity of Jesus Christ. We need to have that same faith, that same strong faith in the Spirit, which is far beyond our human capacities. We ask for it as we get closer and closer to the Ascension and Pentecost, that our faith would be made new. We ask our Blessed Mother to continue to intercede for us, that the light shining through our weak faith would be enkindled all the more, a brighter light for ourselves and for the world around us. Amen.